how should a Christian pray as he faces the battle against sin and temptation? His prayer might be as simple as crying out to the Lord and saying, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's message on Matthew 6:13, part of the Lord's Prayer. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mouth skilled in prayer to call upon the grace of the Lord.
Dear congregation, I want to bring you God's word with God's help this morning from Matthew 6:13, the last petition and the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And also, we'll be looking a bit at the text of 2 Corinthians 12, 10b. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." For when I am weak, then am I strong. And we do that in conjunction with Lord's Day 52, where we read the three questions, 127 to 129, which is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That is, all these we ask of thee, all these petitions we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. And what doth the word amen signify? Amen signifies, "It shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him." Remarkable, remarkable Lord's Day. So our theme this morning is crying out to God in the battle against sin. And we'll look first of all in preparing for the battle, second, in the midst of the battle, and thirdly, in overcoming the battle. Crying out to God in the battle against sin. Crying out in preparing for it. Crying out in the midst of it. Crying out in overcoming it. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Often, these words are exegeted in this way, that the first part is negative in nature, "Lead us not into temptation." The second part, positive in nature, "But deliver us from evil." I think there's a better way to look at this last petition. "Lead us not into temptation" is primarily concerned about preparing us for the great battle against sin. It's a prayer of preparation. "Deliver us from evil" is a prayer, as it were, in the battle, when temptation is flooding over us and we're called to fight it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this petition really is not so much about the negative and the positive as it is about preparation and implementation, getting ready for the work of sanctification and resisting sin, and then actually implementing that by the grace of the Holy Spirit in engaging in the battle for the Lord. This petition is a plea for God's help in the great battle of sanctification, holiness. Just as the last petition, forgive us our sins, was a plea for justification. So really the two great parts of our salvation are incorporated in the Lord's Prayer. Really there's three petitions directly for us in the Lord's Prayer. The first is for our daily needs, and then comes justification, and then sanctification. Now, sanctification or holiness is fundamental to the Christian life. You can't be justified without entering into the battle of sanctification. We must desire to make progress, to be sanctified, to be more holy. And if we don't have that desire, it's an evidence that we're not justified. A believer is someone who wants to please God. He loves God. He wants to be holy. He wants to obey the command, be ye holy as I am holy. And so this petition, not to be led into temptation, is often seriously misunderstood. God is never, ever the author of evil, James tells us in James 1. He does not tempt to sin. So you don't have to pray, oh Lord, do not lead us into sin. That's not what the petition means. Fearing that if you didn't pray this, then God himself would lead you into sin. That's an absurd interpretation. God never leads anyone into sin. It's true that sometimes God may take away his restraining hand, his helping hand, so that we stumble into sin, but then we stumble into sin because of our own unreadiness, our own pride, our own foolishness. But God never leads sinners into temptation, James says. So lead us not into temptation. It's rather a prayer of acknowledgement that we need God's help and God's power to go through life battling against sin. That without God's help, God's power, we will surely lose that battle. And so I want to set before you five things that we're really praying for when we just pray these words, lead us not into temptation. The first thing we're praying for is we're praying for God's much-needed help in battling the devil. Lead us not into temptation. Our instructor puts it this way, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment beside this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore, preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit. So this is a petition that is preparatory. This is something that would be very fitting to pray every morning as you face a new day. Lead us not into temptation. I need thy help, Lord, in battling the powers of evil, and particularly Satan and his minions as I face this day. You see, Satan is always trying to set before us evil thoughts, evil things. He wants to fill our mind with sin and evil. Maybe small evils as we are prone to think of them. Or subtle evils, or gross evils, or concealed evils. But he's always dressing up sin as something attractive, and he sets it before us. You remember what Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" This is Satan's business. This is his work, you see. And this is why Jesus prays in John 17 to his Father, "These who are mine are left in the world, and I'm going away from them. So, Father, keep them from the evil one." You see, there's a daily onslaught being made against us, being made against our children by the devil. And so we don't just pray this for ourselves. We pray it for our children. We pray it for the church of Jesus Christ. And so many of these temptations of Satan that bend toward evil are attractive to the flesh. So Satan is the serpent, the dragon, that makes war against the seed of the woman. And our own flesh, if we're not careful, will be complicit in his endeavors. Because Satan can never make you to sin, but he knows how to allure you towards sin. And so your prayer then is, "Lead us not into temptation." It's a way of saying, "Lord, I'm not sufficient for this. I'm so weak in myself, I can't cope with this. Lord, help me, prepare me. I depend upon thee. If I don't have thy help, I know myself well enough that I will fail and I will fall." But secondly, implicitly we're praying in this petition to confess our own weakness. You notice the words say, "Since we are so weak in ourselves." That's how it begins. You see, when you pray, "Lead us not into temptation," you begin with an awareness of your own incredible, shameful, guilty weakness. And so what you're really doing is you're praying something like this: "Lord, do not allow my pride and self-confidence to arise in my heart today as I go out into the world. Lead me not into temptation. Don't let me think I can carry on this warfare by myself. Show me my weakness, that I may be strong in thee. And help me to withstand this weakness by leaning on thy strength. I'm too weak. I'm too weak even when I'm a believer. And I'm too prone to think I'm strong. And that's why I need to learn this lesson of Paul again and again." You know, Paul had such amazing experiences at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 12, in the first seven verses. And he says, I was carried up into the heavens. I saw things that are not lawful for a person to utter. He had these wonderful, really mystical experiences. But he says, "So that I wouldn't be exalted, so I wouldn't become self-sufficient, God gave me a thorn in the flesh that he, through Satan's efforts, that he would not remove, but would just simply say, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" And so Paul says what he learned experientially from that was simply this, and that's what I mentioned is one of our text words this morning, these profound words: "For when I am weak, then am I strong." And what he means by that is when you are very weak, you see your own weakness, your own proneness to fall, that you can't stand, and you're a child of God, you see, then you throw yourself upon the strength of God. And when you throw yourself by the grace of God on the strength of God, you find out that you're strong in the midst of your own weakness, because he gives you strength in the inner man. You see, then you become the publican, not the Pharisee. "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Not the Pharisee. "I thank thee, Lord, that I'm strong, that I'm not like the other sinners. I can cope. I can do it." No, no. You lose your self-sufficiency. You can't walk. You can't walk in your own strength. You will fall. You know, there was a man in my very first church in Sioux Center, Iowa, who at that particular point when I was ministering there, was very unsteady on his feet, and he had two canes. And when he walked, he'd walk like this every step. You could just see people in the room. They wanted to come and help him, but he wouldn't let anyone help him. No one could help him. And he fell and fell and fell and fell till he finally broke some bones and died. But he wouldn't let anyone help him. But you see, what happens in spiritual life is the Holy Spirit shows us our weakness, that we're unsteady on our feet spiritually, as it were. And we need his help to stand, to walk in the strength of God. And we learn to receive that help. Our will is broken, and we come as poor, needy sinners. And we need the hand of God to take us. And so we travel to eternity with his hand in our hand. And we cry out, "Lead me not into temptation. Lord, I'm weak. Deliver me from ever imagining that I can fight this battle against sin in my own strength without depending every moment on thee. Protect me, not just from Satan, protect me from myself, my wicked self, my prone to sin self, my foolish pride, the worldliness that lives within me, my self-confidence, my complacency. Oh God, help me. I'm so weak in myself." Sometimes I think one of the reasons why the Lord gives us children is to help us learn this prayer. Because many times in parenting, our children think we're always strong and always confident. We know what to do. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. But God knows how to break us in parenting, doesn't he? To make us weak and dependent. And that's just such a great blessing. Hard on the flesh, but good for the soul. So that in parenting, you too learn to say, "I'm so weak in myself. But I'm strong in the covenant God who gives his promises that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands." And then thirdly, in this petition, I'm praying for a tender conscience, aren't I? If I pray rightly, that's obvious. The instructor doesn't say this directly, but it's obvious. "Lord, lead us not into temptation" is a way of praying for a sensitized conscience. And my conscience may be attuned to what is sinful and may flee it. I don't want to be dragged halfway into sin and then sin before I know it because my conscience is silent. You see, the Holy Spirit has to help us to have what the Reformers and Puritans used to call a good conscience, a conscience that's attuned to the will and to the Word of God. And when we pray not to be led into temptation, we're saying, "Lord, give me and help me to retain that lively, tender conscience." That is so important for a daily walk of holiness. And that's one of the problems, one of the big problems, you see, with the electronic media today and all the temptations that we get bombarded with, is that we can easily desensitize our conscience when we flirt with sin or when we passively participate in watching movies, for example, that break the commandments. And we naively think that this won't impact the way we think or the tenderness of our conscience long term. But it will. And so we don't legalistically say, "Well, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this." But our tender conscience says, "I don't want to do this or that or the other thing because there's sin attached to it. And that sin, God knows I've got too much of it in my heart already. I don't need to feed my wicked heart with more of it." And so desensitize my conscience so that the fear of God recedes into the background and the attractions of the flesh come more in the foreground. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Help me to flee all wickedness and help me to have a tender conscience. And you know, that's the way to teach your children too when they grow up, dear parents. Don't teach them out of a legalistic motive, but teach them out of a motive that they need a tender conscience to fear God and to respond to Him by the grace of God in love, so that they might, like Daniel, purpose not in their heart to eat of the king's dainties, because he was jealous of his own soul, his own communion with God. Tender conscience, a good conscience, is a great gift of God. As your children grow up, you know, my dad used to always say to me, I'll never forget it, don't ever step upon your conscience. And don't ever step over your conscience. Have respect for your conscience, as long as it's lined up with the Word of God. Your conscience is that internal policeman that registers what God thinks of you according to your best knowledge. And you need to listen to that voice. So you teach your children about the importance of maintaining a tender, obedient, good conscience by the grace of God. And then fourthly, we pray in preparation for this battle to keep our mind fixed on God. Lead me not into temptation means, conversely, lead me into staying myself upon my God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or fixed upon God. You see, that's the only way we can withstand temptation. Oh Lord, keep my mind fixed upon thee for guidance. What happens when we quickly stumble into sin? And you're astonished later, you say, wow, I said those words before I even knew it. Ah, Lord, forgive me. I thought that thought before. Oh Lord, forgive me. What's going on? Well, your mind is not fixed on God. That's what happens. When our mind isn't fixed on God, sin rushes in. And so the goal, you see, to be kept from temptation is to have your mind fixed on God. If your mind is really fixed on God, you won't dare do that sin because God is present. So lead us not into temptation really means, Lord, help me to keep my mind focused upon Thee. And then fifthly, in preparing for the battle, you see, you pray, lead us not into temptation. You're actually praying for our increasing hatred to sin, to see the enormity of sin, the heinousness of sin, the spiritual insanity of sinning against your Creator, your Maker, your Savior, your Lord. What a dastardly thing, what a horrific thing sin is. Oh God, fill me with a sense of hatred for sin because Thou dost hate it, and help me to hate what Thou dost hate, and to love what Thou dost love, that I may see the ugliness of sin, the anti-godness of sin, that the goal of sin is to dethrone Thee and to enthrone myself. What a tragedy all sin is. Fill me with a sense of the horror of it, the heinousness of it. Lead us not into temptation.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."